Thank you, Carol and Karen. What a blessing. Appreciate that. Tremendous, tremendous. Before I came up for the service, actually I went down to in the fellowship hall to meet with the choir and then come up, and that wouldn't have worked. But anyway, I was out in the foyer, and Brandon Jordan approached me, and he says, listen, I need you to keep the message a little short because we need to get to the restaurant. And so, Bobby, I think that means he's buying, so make sure he does that. Amen. We want him to take care of his father and be a good son and buy his meal for him. Steak sounds real good. I'm sure that would work out real well. But anyway, it is not a long message unless you don't look intelligent. And so as long as everybody's looking intelligent, in this front group, they look, there's a few folks that are struggling, but we get our text and our title also from verse 11. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And that is the title, a man greatly beloved. I want you to know God loves you today. And he loves all of us. He loves men. He loves women. He loves fathers. Daniel, though, was a man greatly beloved. And that really stood out to me. A man greatly beloved. And again, God loves all of us. For God so loved the world, he gave. I mean, he could not express his love any more than he did by giving his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. There's no greater love than that. But it is interesting that Daniel here is referred to as a man greatly beloved. Father, I pray you bless the preaching and use it, Lord, the message, the word of God, use it in our lives. I pray that we would try to be like Daniel. Lord, I want you to love what I do. I want you to love my ways. I want you to love everything about my life here. And so please help me to do right and help each of us. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God loves all of us, of course, and there's no greater love than God's love for us. But here, it's interesting. It seems to me there's a little more to it. In verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And then in verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved. And I think what we see from this, we know God loves Daniel, and God loves you, and God loves all of us. And certainly God doesn't love our sin, but he loves us, and he loved us enough to pay for our sin. But I think God loves what we do. God loves our ways. God loves what we do with what he's given us. And, you know, it would be a great thing to be on our tombstone that we were a man greatly beloved, or even a woman greatly beloved, a person that was loved by God. God loves what we do. God's pleased with how we act. God's pleased with our way of life. And the challenge, of course, would be to have that kind of a life. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are that. He's working on us, and he continues to work on us. But he is certainly, as we talked about in Sunday school, he's watching our ways, and he's watching our works, and he's observing what we do. And I think just some folks, I think it just stands out, like Daniel, as a man greatly beloved. And so I looked at some ways of Daniel and some things he did, and I found some things I think God was pleased with. And I want to give those to you. Just seven things this morning of why I think Daniel was a man greatly beloved. And certainly each of us could add these to our lives and have them as our own ways. Number one is he was a man of priority. I believe Daniel was a man of priority. It's interesting in Daniel 1, we have the background, and I certainly can't get into all of it, but the Babylonian captivity. And it's just recorded in chapter 1 of Daniel. We know from the history books of what took place and how that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came in and wiped out Jerusalem and destroyed the homes and massacred the people. And we have to believe that Daniel's family probably and many of his acquaintances were killed in that captivity, in that massacre that took place. But Daniel was taken to Babylon. And Daniel, as well as we know of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as it's recorded in verse 6, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were taken to Babylon as young men that perhaps would, verse 4 says, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. They were taken then to Babylon. And but the thing that stands out to me about Daniel is that Daniel was, he was a man of priority. And even as a young man, he said, though I'm taken in captivity by the Babylonian people, and though Nebuchadnezzar has wiped out my city, and though he's taken me away from my home and my family and those that I love, I'm still going to worship God and I'm still going to love God. And we see that in Daniel's life. He just stays true to God. He puts God first over everything. He puts God first over the trial. He puts God first over how uncomfortable it must be. And how uncomfortable could it have been? He might have watched his parents be slaughtered. He may have watched his leaders be killed. I mean, it's hard to imagine what all went through the mind of young Daniel. But I can tell you this. He was a man that said, I'm going to put God first no matter what. Though I don't like this trial, I'm going to put God first. Though I don't like the circumstances, I'm not going to be mad at God. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to hate God. I'm not going to hate God's people. I'm going to still worship God. I'm going to still love God. Why? Because he was a man of priority and he said, God's first. By the way, he was raised that way. He was taught that way. And he practiced that kind of a life. Kind of like Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a man of priority that says, you know what? God is first in my life. And we see it right away with Daniel as he goes to Babylon. I mean, right away, he is asked to compromise. And he's not really in a position to deny anything of these people. But when it comes to his God, who's his priority, he says, I'm not going to compromise. And the Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel said, hey, God's first. He's my priority. And since he's my priority, I'm not going to defile myself before him. Since God is my priority, I'm going to run when temptation comes. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my best to take my stand. By the way, that's the difference between conviction and convenience. You'd stand for conviction. And he said, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in. I've watched them slaughter people. If they have to slaughter me, they slaughter me. If they have to take my life, they take my life. Because I have put God as my priority. And I'm going to do what God says. That is more important to me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the same thing. And it's amazing. You almost get the feel that they were all in the same youth group together. I kind of think about that sometimes. And often as I think, I wonder how our youth group would do if they were taken captive away from the city of Adrian, away as they watch their church being destroyed and watch their town be destroyed and watch their homes be destroyed and they're taken captive. I often wonder how they would do. I wonder how each of us would do. Because it is a difference between conviction and convenience. Daniel said, you know what? God's my priority. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God's our priority. I love it when they're told to bow down to the image and literally to worship the king over God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're given a choice. You know, you either bow down or you're going to burn in the fiery furnace. And I love what they say. They say, we are not careful to answer thee, O king. What's that mean? They say, we don't have to pray about it. We don't have to seek counsel about it. We don't have to look in any books about it. We don't have to write any letters to find out about it. We don't have to ask anybody. We already have set our priority. God is first. We're not giving in. We're not compromising. That's a person of priority. Oh, we need some folks today. We need some men that are men of priority. Where God is first. You say, well, I used to be there. Why aren't you today? You know, I used to stand for God. Why don't you today? Why don't you today? You know, it's a difference between conviction and convenience. And we live in a day and an age where Christianity is becoming more of a convenience than it ever even seems to be a conviction to people. In other words, we can take it or leave it. If something else is going on, we'll skip church. If something else is happening, we won't go to our ministry. If other things pull on us, if something else, we you know, church isn't that important. God's not important. Oh, my prayer life, well, but the ball game's on. God will understand. Oh, read my Bible. Well, there's a book I need to read. You know, and it's like we just aren't like we used to be. We need some men to be men of priority, putting God first. We have what I call a backboneless Christianity today. And if we were put to the test, I often wonder, what would we do? If communists broke in that door, and I always say communists, I could say Muslims, I could say any number of different terrorist groups today. They break in that door, they come down the aisles, and they say, will you stand for God or will you be shot? I just wonder how many would conveniently, I got a stomachache, I got to go, you know. I don't want to answer that question. How sad. How sad it is. And it gets real quiet because you're kind of contemplating. I wonder, yeah. But see, it used to not be a problem. We used to all be men of priority. We used to all say, God's first, that's the most important thing. But you know, it's amazing how that changes over the years. But I'll tell you, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And you know, purpose in your heart. Be a man of priority and purpose in your heart. I'm going to do right no matter what. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Don't care what the circumstances are. Don't care what kind of valley I'm in today. I'm going to do right. I'm going to please God. That is more important than anything in all this world. And it is. It really is. He stood. By the way, that priority put Daniel in the lion's den one day. Sure it did. You know, hey, Daniel, you going to pray? You going to pray or are you, you know, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den if you keep praying. And I love what the Bible says. It just says, Daniel prayed as he did aforetime, just like he always did. Why? Because God was his priority. That's why. What is it that stops your prayer life? What is it that stops your Bible reading? What is it that stops your church attendance? What is it that stops your tithe? What is it that keeps you from getting baptized? What is it? What is it that is bigger, more important than God? Daniel said, my priority is God. Number two, he was not only a man of priority, but he was also a man of privacy. Go back to chapter 10. And really, chapter 10 is where I got the message from because it is such a powerful chapter in the Bible. And yet it's not talked about a lot. In chapter 10 and verse 7, it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. But over and over and over in the book of Daniel, and we studied the book of Daniel in my Sunday school class years ago, but over and over and over we see Daniel alone. But the truth of the matter is, he was never alone because he was with God. And you know, a man needs to have some privacy where he can get alone with God. By the way, that's the reason why number one was possible in the first place. You know, how do you put God first? Well, because you spend time with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, you don't know unless you walk together. You know, walk together with God. Walk with God. Enoch walked with God and God just took him. He enjoyed it so much. You know, he just walking with God. What do you mean walk with God? Every day, all day long, walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Talk to God. Speak to God. Have God with you in the car. Have God with you at work. Have God with you at home. All day, every day. Just walk with God and be a man of privacy. Well, I talk to God. I need to get alone and be with God. The Bible says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. How are you going to know He's God? Be still. Be still. Be still. How do you know that the United States government's not God? Well, because I was still and I knew God's God. How did you know money's not God? Well, I know money's not God because I was still one day and I found out He's God. How do you know that popularity's not God? Well, I was still one day and I found out that He was God. How do you know that that you're not God? Oh, it didn't take long because I just was still one day and I spent some time with Him and I saw what I was and I knew it's not me that's God. He's God. We just need to be still and hear that still small voice. Oh, you know, you can see him in the earthquake. Personally, I'd rather not have one. Amen? You could see him in the tsunami, but personally, I'd rather not have one. Right? Yeah. You could see him in the tornado, but I'll be honest with you, I'd just soon hear this still small voice. You know, that still small voice is speaking to you, but you just don't hear it because all the other junk that's around. And the only way is just to get alone. Like Daniel, a man of privacy. I'm amazed how many men would say, you know, I just don't even know if God's there. When is the last time you just shut off the television, you turned everything else off, maybe you went out in the woods somewhere, and you just spent some time with God? Maybe you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's the only quiet time, and just spend some time with your God. A man of privacy, absolutely essential. Great men of God, Moses, 40 years in a desert to prepare for Pharaoh. Don't ever read the story about Pharaoh and Moses and his challenge of let my people go to Pharaoh, who could have spoken and had him killed. Don't ever read that without understanding that Moses spent 40 years in a desert alone with God. Don't ever read about the parting of the Red Sea without understanding that that doesn't take place unless Moses has some private time with God. David was alone as a shepherd out there in the fields watching over the sheep and all the songs of the Psalms and all of that. But understand that it was David that God inspired to write in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." And maybe the sheep were bleating over here and making some noise, but there were times it would be totally silent. And God and David would talk, and he'd fellowship with God. But he had to prepare for Goliath. Don't ever read the story about David and Goliath and without understanding that David walked with God. Otherwise, he doesn't beat Goliath. Paul was 3 years. The Bible says, not with flesh and blood. He just spent some time with God alone, preparing to do something for God. You want to do something for God? Spend time with God. Amen. And God loves it. Again, here's a man greatly beloved. I think because he was a man of priority, God loves that when you say, God, you're first. I think because he was a man of privacy, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Where was he all the time? Right next to Jesus. All the time. It only makes sense that God would use him to write that Jesus is the vine. Yeah, he's right there. You say, I just don't feel very close to God. That's because you're not. But you can be. It's all up to us, folks. We're the ones that set our time. I'm just too busy. Turn off the television. You'd be amazed how unbusy you would be. Amen. I realize this church, folks, nobody would ever watch anything bad. It's just we watch instead of spending time with God. And I'm not talking about lots and lots and lots of time. Just saying, do you ever, during a day, spend time with God? He was a man of priority, a man of privacy. Number three, he was a man of privilege. Because I believe he was willing to make God first as his priority. Because I believe he was willing to make God the one he would spend time with. And he was a man of privacy. I think, therefore, he was a man of privilege. God showed him some things. God did some things in his life. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. You know the story. And he had a dream that nobody could interpret. And an amazing thing. Daniel then, through the process of God's will in his life, he is the one privileged to interpret that dream to the king. And then he's made second in charge. Shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have taken place. How could this ever take place? Well, with God, all things are possible. With God, anything can take place. And you can't rule out anything with God Almighty. And the privilege of Daniel, just like the privilege of Joseph, I believe is because they said, God's first. I believe because they said, God, since you're first, I want to spend time with you. And God said, you know what? I'll do some great things for you and with you. Daniel recognized his privilege. He really did. Verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Nobody else saw it. Notice, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. You know, I mean, what's Daniel get? Daniel gets this great vision of what God's going to do. What do the other guys get? An earthquake. What happens to the other guys? Fear. I'm afraid that's what I see in Christianity. I see an insecurity because folks just aren't spending time with God. Folks just aren't putting God first. And therefore, everything's just fear and a quaking. And we tremble at every little thing. First little word of gossip and we're trembling. First little word of Jesus is May 21st is the day and we tremble. God's people never have to tremble about things God already told us about. You know, first visit to the doctor, and the doctor says, I see a spot. Well, I'll tell you, I've got spots all over me. It's amazing. Age does weird things to you, doesn't it? Sometimes I feel like a Dalmatian. But you know, Daniel, what's Daniel do? Daniel said, woohoo, look at that. And everybody around him is going, that's that privilege. And yet, the privilege is extended to all of us. He says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. You know the man that's greatly beloved? The man that is a man of priority and a man of privacy? He recognizes he's a man of privilege. And he's not going to be shaken by junk. First little bit of gossip. And some of you, I mean, some folks just, it's like, you don't know what you're going to do. It's unbelievable. But you know what? The man that is walking with God, nothing shakes him. You know, the first headline in the news, oh no, it's really good. They're raising taxes. What are we going to do? What have you done when they raise taxes before? The economy, we're in, you know, double digits and the gas price is going up and you know, all. You know what Daniel was doing? Daniel was looking at his God and saying, wow, it's great what you're doing, God. It's so good what you're doing. You're such a great God. It's a man of privilege. I, Daniel, alone, he said. I, Daniel, alone. What's he say? Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. By the way, deep sleep on his face indicates he could sleep. What were the other guys doing? They're running from the earthquake. Yeah. I don't want to make a lot out of that, but I'll tell you, you know, before you go to a doctor and get a bunch of pills, why not try walking with God? Yeah, I'm not telling you to get rid of your pills. I'm just saying, hey, let's walk with God. I'm saying, let's put God first. Let's know when we put our head on the pillow at night, God, I did all that you wanted me to do today. And if I didn't, I've confessed it to you. Boy, it makes a huge difference. It really does. He was a man of priority. He was a man of privacy. But he saw things that nobody else could see. He experienced things. Others looked at it. Why is he so excited? It's that way today. It really is. We're so privileged. We're privileged we can serve God. We're privileged we can tell folks about Jesus. We're privileged that we can work on a bus route. We're privileged we can pray. We're privileged we can read the very words of God Almighty. We're privileged we can study those words. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. So many realize too late all they could have done. And the privilege, child of the king. Does that sound familiar?
Amen.
Last year's vacation Bible school. That's what we are. What a privilege! And so many are wasting that privilege. a man of privilege, and he realized it, and he rejoiced in it. Number four, he was a man of prayer, and we know that. No question about that. In chapter 10, verse 2, it says, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks." That doesn't mean he was whining. Doesn't mean he was griping. It means he was mourning. It means he was in prayer to God, begging God. It means that he was in sorrow to God because he wanted God to do something. And he was mourning. And throughout the book of Daniel, he prays. And over and over and over and over and over again, he prays. Somebody says, you know, if I had to diagnose Daniel, I think he's depressed. And you know what? You'd be very wrong. You'd be very wrong. Daniel saw a problem. He saw a need, and he begged God for it. And his heart was broken until God answered that prayer. Oh, we need some of that today. We need folks to be people of prayer. You know, life's not all fun and games. It's not. I mean, it's amazing how many Christians have the idea that it's just, you know, well, it's just all fun. It's you know, if I'm not having fun, it must not be God's will. You're so wrong. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. A prophet is not without honor save in his own country. I mean, you know, oh, if I do this for God, everybody's going to roll out the red. No, they're not. It's going to be headaches. It's going to be heartaches. It's going to be pain. It's not all fun and games. There's ups and there's downs. The key is God's the God of both the mountains and the valleys. He's God of the ups and the downs. He's God of the blessings and the troubles. He's God of all of it. And you only know that when you spend some time with God in prayer, asking, begging God to do things. You know, Jesus and his disciples, they weren't always just having fun. They weren't always saying, you know, laughing and having a good time. No way. No. Daniel was a man of prayer. And by the way, it didn't bother Daniel to go to God and say, God, why did this happen? You suppose as a young boy he learned how to do that when he watches his city be destroyed, his church be destroyed, people he loved be killed? Do you suppose that he knew he could go to God and say, God, I don't understand this. God, that was my daddy. That was my mom. God, that was my teacher. God, those are people that love me. That man trained me. That man taught me. And now he's gone. God, I don't understand that. And Daniel prayed. And he was a man of prayer. Through that, he realized God is a perfect God. And that everything God does is absolutely perfect. And everything God does is, we have no right to complain, gripe about anything at all. We simply just say, God, I trust you. And to do anything in a negative way is to say, God, I don't trust you. It's just to go to God. God, I believe you, and I believe you're God. And that was Daniel's life. It was his life to just talk to God about everything. God, the king just made a law that if I keep praying, I'm going to go in a lion's den. If I was Daniel, I'd say, God, make the lions not hungry. You know, I'd try to come up with something. But ultimately, Daniel says, God, I trust you. And the lions were starving lions. I imagine their guts were growling as Daniel was in there. But they couldn't do anything because God wouldn't let them. But see, Daniel was a man of prayer. How sad that we're not a man of prayer. Number one, he was a man of priority. Number two, he was a man of privacy. Number three, he was a man of privilege. Number four, he was a man of prayer. Number five, and I love this, he was a man of pressure. A man of pressure. Yeah, we live in a world where, just take it easy. Be cool. Yeah, just everything. Don't put yourself under so much pressure. I get so tired of doctors telling people, you know, you're just under too much pressure, and it's nothing like it has been, nothing like we have gone through, you know. Daniel, he didn't mind pressure. Verse 12, He then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Daniel, his pressure. I need an answer. I want an answer. I want an answer. I want an answer. 21 days he prays and he mourns and he begs God. I got to have an answer, God. And he just keeps praying. Now look what happens while he's praying. Verse 13, here's what the angel says. Says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. You know, some of you, your guardian angel could be on retirement. Not Daniel's. Daniel's guardian angel's busy. His sword's out. Huh? You know. He says, the prince of the king. As soon as you started praying, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he came after me and he withstood me and he would not let me come through to give the answer. 21 days. Pressure. The whole time Daniel's saying, oh God, please give me the answer. Please give me the answer. And look what this angel. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And Michael, you know, Michael, he takes his sword out and probably hacks that dude in half. I don't know about all that. That's, you know, the angels and demons and all that stuff, they're fighting right now, right over here, right here. You know, it's happening. Your guardian angel's asleep because you're not even paying attention. You know, he doesn't have to worry about no demons are going to bother you as long as you're reading the songbook. Amen. He says, boy, you know, I started coming 21 days ago. I started coming. The whole time, Daniel's on his face. Oh, God, please, 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 please answer this prayer. Pressure. And now the angel says, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. He said, here I am. Boy, it's been a battle, though. Whew. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting my guardian angel. I hope he says, man, you wore me out. You really took me through some tough times. Because that's what it's talking about. You know, no pressure is to have no prayers answered. Right? Uh-huh. No pressure is to have no goals. If you have no goals, you never reach goals. No pressure is to have no vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. Yeah. Do you have any goals? Do you have a vision? Yeah. Because if you don't, there's no pressure. That's the way. No pressure is to never enter the race. You know, people watching the race, they're sitting, sipping on their cup of tea. Well, not that race. They're all drinking beer, probably. But I'm just talking about, I'm just saying, you know, well, I'm just a patient observer. Could you do something? Could you pray? Could you put yourself under some pressure? I will pray this amount of time. I will read my Bible this amount of time. I will tell this amount of people. I will invite these people. I will give to missions this amount every year. And put yourself under some pressure. Yeah, you know, no pressure is to never be in a battle. Because that's pressure. We start playing a vacation Bible school, and what we do is we're drawing a big old bullseye right on our body. That's what it is. You're going to teach vacation Bible school? Then just go ahead and just put a target on yourself. Because that's what it is. It's pressure. It's a battle. By the way, no pressure is to have no accomplishments. No pressure is to have no victories. And no pressure is to have no rewards. But you didn't have any pressure. See, it's just a matter of, he was a man of pressure. Daniel just kept putting the pressure on. You know, why do you keep doing that? I told you, you know, vacation Bible school, all these different things. I try to wiggle out of stuff all the time. But I talk to God, and, you know, God, I could do this. And it's like, no, just keep the pressure on. We do better under pressure. You say, well, I'm just kind of getting by. You have no rewards, no accomplishments, no victories, nothing. Number six, he was a man of practice. In verse 11, it says, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He was a man of practice. Time to pray and time to work. Time to talk to God and time to keep talking to God, but get busy and do what God said to do. You know, we all have the Word of God, and it tells us what to do. It's amazing how we'll talk about, I just want to learn more of the Word of God, but we're not doing what we already know to do. He was a man of practice. He did what he said he was going to do. Imagine a medical student who goes for 8 years of training and then never does it. Seems like a waste, doesn't it? Yeah, Daniel's on his knees. Daniel's begging God. I mean, it only makes sense. You know, Moses, 40 years, he's in the wilderness, and he's talking to God, and God's teaching him things and showing him things in life, and it only makes sense he's going to go out there and do something great. Daniel was a man of practice. He didn't just pray. He didn't just read his Bible. He didn't just do those things. He did what God told him to do. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And how sad that God orders our steps and we don't take those steps. The Bible says he was trembling. He had a reverence for God. And he knew who God was because he walked with God. But he also loved God. A man greatly beloved. The last thing, not only was he a man of priority and a man of privacy, he was a man of privilege. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of pressure and a man of practice. But last, number seven, he was a man of praise. I think that's, you know, of all these things, so many times we lack that praise. Thanksgiving, praise. Thanking God. Recognizing what God did. Talking to God about it. It's very interesting, and I thought of this as Brother Collins and I, we always share Scripture with each other, and he gave me Scripture today that was a real blessing. It says in Psalm 106, they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And talking about the Jews and how they forgot God after he did all those great things. And then Brother Collins wrote this quote. I think it's a quote by Collins. As we give thanks to the Lord for the great things he has done, let's not forget to thank him for the things he did that we didn't see. And I'm constantly saying, God, today was a good day. I want to thank you for all those things you did. I don't even know what it was. See, we'll thank him when the tornado just missed. We'll thank him when the doctor says, all clear. But how many times has the doctor said, everything's okay, and you didn't have something before? Because he got rid of it before you ever found out you had it. Do you know how many germs are in the world? Do you know how many bacteria, how many viruses, how many sicknesses, how much, you know, all that nasty stuff that we can, it's all over the place. Yeah, they're everywhere. But God takes care of us all the time. Daniel recognized that. But, you know, it started with Daniel when he had an adversity that none of us can even imagine. You know, it all started as he's taken captive by the Babylonians, away from everything he ever knew and loved. And he simply said, God, I trust you, and I believe you, and I love you, and I'm going to serve you. And, you know, when you have that attitude, you can praise God for anything. When you have that attitude, you don't tremble at the headlines. You don't tremble at the latest bit of gossip. You just say, God, you are God. And that's, honestly, you know what changed your life more than anything else is just to say, God, you are my God. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust you. You'd be amazed how it doesn't look so bad after all. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here this morning and say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or not. I am not 100% sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. Is there someone? Say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. God bless you. You can get saved today. You can trust Christ as your Savior. Is there someone else? You say, I do not know whether I'm saved. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. We'll give you an opportunity to come, and someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how to be saved. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God spoke into my heart as a Christian today about something. I'm already saved, but God's dealing with me about something in my life as a Christian. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Pray for me as a Christian. Many hands. Thank you. God bless you. Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts. I pray for this one who says they're not saved. I pray you'll save them today. And then I pray for Christians all over this room that we'll make the decisions, Lord, that you've laid on our hearts. May we make you our priority, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 400 in your hymnals, 400. I wish I had given him more. God's speaking to your heart today about something, and you need to come. You need to pray about it. You come as we sing.
By and by, when we look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I ever gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments continue. If God's speaking to your heart today, something you need to pray about today, something God has laid on your heart, certainly we want you to come, make that decision. It's why we're here. It's why you came. Still time. There's a decision you need to make. Amen. Folks are still coming. If you need to make a decision, if you're not sure you're saved, we want you to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. It is the most important decision you'll ever make. Amen. All right. Is there ensemble? No. All right. 4:30, ensemble. 5 o'clock, choir practice, children's choir, teens meet, men's prayer, ladies' prayer, all at 5. 6 o'clock, evening service. Don't forget your pies down in the fellowship hall. And blueberry, chocolate. Happy birthday, Will. And Brandon, don't forget to pay for the food today when you take your father out to eat. And let's close in prayer. Brother Don, close for us.
Father, we thank you for your word in which you have given us examples of men and characteristics in their lives which you desire to see in ours. Father, as we go from this room this day, may each man look at these characteristics and think this week about the characteristics you saw in Daniel, men like Moses, and Joseph. And Father, seek thy face to build those characteristics in our lives that we may show the power of the Holy Spirit to those around as we walk hand in hand with you. Guide and direct, Lord. Bring us together again this evening, we pray in Jesus' name.